You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. It's so great to see you, to be here. Welcome online. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team. And I'm excited to bring God's word this morning. Let me start by asking you all a question. Is anyone here forgetful? Yeah, quite a lot of you. Let me ask you another question. Is anyone here's spouse forgetful? Oh, this could get pastoral quite quickly. Okay, very good. Well done. I've been known to be forgetful at times in my past, and I had one of my worst moments ever a few years ago. Forgive me if you've heard this one before, but when Ivy, my daughter, she's five now, when she was, I think, 2 years old, I would spend every Friday with Ivy. And she loved swimming. And on one particular Friday, I thought, why don't I take Ivy swimming? I told her she's excited. She's buzzing. I get everything ready. I try to be really organized. So I get a bag and I fill it with towels, armbands, Ivy's costume, goggles, coin for the lockers. I'm on it, right? And we get to the swimming baths. We get ready. We go in. I get Ivy all sorted. She's just so excited. She cannot wait. She's all ready. And I think, right, I need to get myself ready now. I look through the bag and disaster. I haven't brought my swimming trunks. It's a complete nightmare. I don't know what to do because I'm like, well, Ivy's already dressed. I can't get her undressed. She'll be confused. She'll be stressed out. I think to myself, this brainwave, or it could have been a nightmare, but I think to myself, why don't I just go in my underwear? I look down and I was wearing new underwear that was black. So I thought I could probably get away with this. If I don't get away with it, I'll be doing prison ministry from the inside. And so I decide I'm going to have to go for it because there is no viable alternative. Okay, don't judge me. We're in church. And so I think, well, is this going to be so awkward? Apologies for the image in your minds, by the way. I put a towel on. I get Ivy and we run. We walk quickly to the pool. I throw the towel down and then jump in. And then I spend the entirety of the swimming session with my head above water. Because I'm just like, you know, because anyway, you can imagine. It's a disaster. I'm praying hard that firstly, Jesus would return quickly. And secondly, I'm praying hard that I don't see anyone from church because this is going to be a code red. And then I'm just floating. Ivy's like, can I go on the slide? I'm like, not with me. And all of a sudden, I see a guy from church called Max walk in and I'm like, oh no, this has gone from bad to worse. What do I do? Hide, deny. But then comes the moment where I have to get out of the pool to leave. And so I have a plan in my head. I'm going to get out. I'm going to quickly as possible run to my towel, wrap up, and then it'll be fine. So I do that. Ivy, grab Ivy. We get up. I get my towel, wrap up. And then I bump into Max and I say, oh, hi, Max, how's it going? And he says, yeah, all fine with me. How are you, Josh? And I said, well, I needed to confess. So I said, I've had a nightmare today, Max. I've forgotten my swimming trunks. And he says, yeah, I could tell they looked a bit tight. And it was a disaster. Anyway, I'm an open book. The reality is, guys, we all forget things, don't we? Please make me feel better. We all forget things. And the reality is forgetting things carries a cost. A couple of weeks ago, we were crossing the Humber Bridge and we forgot to pay our Humber Bridge toll fine. Anyone done that? They've got rid of the booths. Do you notice that? There's no booths. There's no people. It was so... Anyway, we forgot to pay. We got a £25 fine. Had to pay that extra. This year, Hannah forgot where she put my Valentine's Day card. Forgot. And I am still recovering emotionally from that. I didn't forget though, so that was the main thing. Now, the reality is we forget so many things in life all the time. And I think for followers of Jesus, one of the greatest battles we face as disciples is the battle for remembrance. It's why Paul, in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, it was his last letter he wrote while he was on earth, shortly before he died. And he wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he implored Timothy, he said this, remember Jesus. Whatever you do, remember Jesus. How many of us can admit that oftentimes in life we forget Jesus? We're just busy. We're preoccupied. We're distracted. We forget how good Jesus is. We forget how kind he is, how faithful he is. We forget all he's done for us, how he's saved us and redeemed us. We forget his promises. We forget how he's provided for us in the past and we worry about how he's going to provide for us in the future. We forget who he really is. It's so easy to forget him. We forget that when life is great, we forget when life is tough. We forget when we hear competing voices telling us different stories and narratives and we think, oh yeah, that must be the way to life and freedom. And we forget the truth about God. And actually, this is exactly where we find the church in Colossae. They're at risk of forgetting the truth of the gospel and the truth about Jesus. False teachers had come into the church and twisted, distorted, added to the gospel. They'd said, you know, Jesus is not sufficient for you. Jesus is not all you need. He is not enough. Jesus wasn't being removed completely. He was just being reduced. He's being downgraded, diminished. His importance, his sufficiency, the supremacy of Jesus was being eroded. And so Paul was writing this letter that we're in, Colossians, to not erode in a world where the gospel was being eroded. He was actually doing to reverse that, to elevate Jesus. It's not erosion, it's elevation, magnifying Jesus and lifting their eyes once again to the greatness of Jesus. And that is, it's the whole book, but it's in particular our text for today. So if you've got a Bible, Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. We're going to read the most glorious passage about Jesus. Then I'm just going to share some thoughts. It says this, "The Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." These verses, scholars almost unanimously agree, is a hymn from the early church. And so if you've been with us on the journey the last 2 or 3 weeks, Paul has prayed, then he's preached, and now he sings. And here are three realities of Jesus that we need to remember as we navigate the life, and three responses to those realities. Number one, the first thing we are to remember about Jesus is we remember the person of Jesus. We remember who he really is. I wonder how you'd answer this question or complete this statement. Jesus is gap. How would you complete that? You see, many people in our world today have many different opinions about who Jesus is. Some say Jesus never existed. Others say he is a good man, someone to look up to, a good teacher, a philosopher, a Jewish rabbi. Some see him as a political renegade, someone who was killed for resisting the system. Some venerate him as a prophet, others a cult leader. Who is Jesus? Guys, it is the most important question that every single one of us can ever ask, and we need to come to a satisfactory answer to that. This is how Paul describes Jesus in verse 15. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Paul is saying this, church, you may hear that you need Jesus and other stuff. You may hear that Jesus can't really save you and can't really satisfy you and can't really sustain you. But Paul is saying, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is so far greater than you could ever possibly imagine. He's the image of the invisible God, meaning this, guys, he is more than just a man. He is more than just a prophet. This Jesus is God Almighty. He is God in human form. All of our best words fall miles short of describing his beauty and his glory. The Bible says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the light of the world. He is the great I am. Jesus, he is the mighty warrior, the infinite and eternal, the unsearchable, the indescribable. He is beyond understanding and he is incomprehensible. That's my king. You do not diminish him, downplay him, or downgrade him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the only right response to seeing a vision of Jesus as he really is worship. Can I get an amen? Amen. Two things I want to hone in on from what Paul says. Number one, Paul says this, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What does that mean? Well, he doesn't mean image as in resemblance or reflection. The Greek word is this word icon. And it speaks to the idea that Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God in human form. That is to say that in Jesus, the invisible God has become visible. The invisible God has taken on flesh. Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, I and the Father are one. He also says this, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So this is a claim beyond mere humanity. No angel, no spiritual power, no created being could make this claim. It is to say that Jesus is supreme, divine, and sovereign. Paul writes this in verse 19 that we've just read, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. Think about that. All the fullness of God was in Jesus. Not some of God, not a reflection of God, not a percentage of God. All God's fullness, all God's glory, all God's holiness, all God's power, his authority, everything that is true about God took residence in Jesus. It means Jesus is not just a good teacher or prophet or a good man. He is the God-man. Secondly, Paul says that he's the firstborn over all creation. Firstborn from among the dead, he goes on to say that in everything he might have the supremacy. What does this mean? It kind of sounds like Paul is saying he is one of the created beings. That's not what he's saying. That was a heresy that was around at the time. Paul is essentially describing his primacy, that Jesus is of first importance. He's completely supreme. His authority over creation. Paul is saying Jesus is the creator over creation, not part of creation itself. And firstborn speaks to this idea of royalty and preeminence. All of this to say Jesus is more incredible than we could ever possibly imagine. And so let me ask you this today. Do we see Jesus for who he really is? Do we see him for his magnificence and his magnitude and his glory and his beauty? Are we saturating our minds with truth about who he is? And then are we responding to that? The right response to Jesus as he really is worship. Jesus is worthy of all of our worship, all of our surrender, all of our obedience. He is worthy of our entire lives. So the first thing we've got to remember is who Jesus really is. We don't sanitize Jesus. We don't put Jesus in a box. We just simply worship him for who he is. Number two, we remember the power of Jesus. Verse 16 says this, for in him, or in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Here, Paul is reminding us that this Jesus that some people want to downgrade and downplay and diminish, he is all powerful and he is the focal point of all creation. I'm into my interior design. Anyone else into making rooms look nice? No, none in the whole church, just me. But I'm interested, and there's a philosophy and idea in interior design called the focal point of the room. And it's kind of this idea of like, there's something in the room that everything points towards. And for many people, it's like in the lounge, it's the TV, right? You put everything towards that one thing. Jesus is the focal point of the universe. Everything in this world, everything in this universe, everything in the cosmos is directed towards Jesus. All things were made through him, meaning Jesus was at the center of creation. And all things were made for him, meaning everything exists to glorify Jesus. He is, you know, things visible and invisible, things on earth, things in heaven. Everything is about him. Everything is unto him. He's not just savior, but he is the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the king over all things. Paul says all thrones, all powers, all rulers, all authorities, all spiritual forces, every philosophy, every king and queen, every head of state, every battle that you face, every force that comes against you, all of it will bow the knee to King Jesus. There is no power that is higher. There is no authority that can rival. There is no spiritual force that compares at all. It is all for him. So what is our response when we look at the grandeur and the power of Jesus? Well, I wonder whether it would change our perspective slightly. Because the things that worry us, let me say, they don't worry Jesus. The things that cause us fear do not cause Jesus to shake. He's never intimidated. He's never kept awake at night. He's never out of control. The battles that we face, the fears that we carry, the pressure of the world, none of it is beyond Jesus. He's never out of control. I think for a lot of us, I speak for myself, sometimes I can allow the situations that I'm in, the circumstances that surround me to become so big in my mind that I can't see past them. I'm so afraid maybe of, where finances are going to come from that I lose sight of God as provider. I'm so scared of a situation that might be coming up that I forget that God is healer. We can be surrounded by all sorts of situations, the Goliaths in life, and we can actually lose sight that there is a God for whom nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with him. I wonder what that might be for you. What is occupying your vision? If we remember the power of Jesus, his sovereignty, the fact that he's in control, I think sometimes we look at Jesus through the wrong end of a telescope. You ever done that before? You look at it through the right end and it zooms in. We look at it through the wrong end and it feels like it's miles away. The reality, Jesus is so close and he's so powerful and he cares so deeply. He is ruling and reigning over all things. And I want to remind someone here today that Jesus still rules and reigns over the cosmos. I want to remind someone who's anxious, worried about the future, remember Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. What you're going through may feel tough. So turn to the one who holds all things together. So we remember the person of Jesus, who he really is. We remember his power and the fact that with him, all things are possible. And finally, Paul says, we remember the purposes of Jesus. Many Christians in our cultural moment in the West, we've kind of bought into this idea that life is really about us. I sit on the throne of my life and I'm building an empire really to satisfy me. And we've kind of projected that a bit onto God. And we kind of think that even subconsciously that God's primary purpose, that the primary purpose that Jesus has is really to make us happy. And we treat God less like a king and a lord and more like a fairy godmother who exists to grant me my wish and give me what I want and fulfill my desires. Now, look, God loves to bless his kids. But we live in a world where it's all about me. And Paul wants to remind us that actually Jesus has a mission and a purpose, and it is far more beautiful and big and compelling a story than simply making my life comfortable. Says this in verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." The mission, the purpose of Jesus, guys, in one word is this: reconciliation. If you got that in your Bible, write, underline that. Reconciliation. It is healing. It is wholeness. It is peace. It is shalom. It is the fullness, the wholeness of God extended through Jesus to the entire created order because of his precious blood shed on the cross. This is what Jesus is in the business of doing. He is making all things new. For people that are far away from God, he is drawing close and saving. For those that are struggling, he is bringing healing and wholeness. For those that are bound in addiction, Jesus is bringing freedom and liberty. He is extending his rule and reign over the entire cosmos. Every bit of creation that is broken and fractured and sick is being renewed and one day will be fully made new. You know, heaven's not going to be kind of a sitting on clouds listening to gospel music with our AirPods in. Heaven is the new, it is the heaven and earth completely made new. And it's going to be the way things were always meant to be. We're going to have real physical new bodies. We're going to have, anyway, I won't get into that. That's another sermon. But it's going to be epic. And it's not going to be a bodiless world. We're going to have real bodies. It's going to be an embodied world. But it's going to be completely perfect. No more sin, no more shame, no more sickness, no more death. It's going to be paradise. And he is making this new. And the word reconciliation is his mission. And guys, it has to be ours as well. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God has committed to us in our time the message of reconciliation. He's in the business of reconciliation, and so are we. And so as his ambassadors, we've got to remember that we have a mission, we have a calling, we have a destiny. We are not just people just called to sit and do our own thing. We are a sent people, sent to the world to make a difference. And that's why we're building the Hope Center. You know, the Hope Center is going to be a house of reconciliation, a house of restoration, of hope and joy, a place through which people can encounter the peace of God because of the cross and experience life and life to the full. So let's remember Jesus. Let's remember him for who he really is in every season that we go through. Let's remember his power and what is available to us. And let's remember his purposes. We live on mission with the message of reconciliation because of the precious blood of Jesus. And as we do that, we're going to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.